So we're learning Erev in Daf Hey Amud Aleph, and we're discussing a case of a Mavui that has a Korah that's too low, which means it's below 10 Tfachim. 10 Tfachim is the minimum height of a Korah, and this Korah is below 10 Tfachim. And we have here a sugya called Chokakin Lahashlim. We're going to dig into the ground of the Mavui to depress the ground so that the height of the Korah is more than 10 Tfachim high. Now, in the Yalkut HaBiurim, in the back, which again I wish you would have a copy of, he has here a couple of different topics. I'm going to mention them by name, and then we'll see. Maybe we'll choose one or two of them for our discussion of today. One of the questions is, Ha'im dafka kshenasa miut bi'ofar. He speaks about how exactly you... Okay, let's leave that out for a moment, because that's more totally, actually more connected to the previous sugya. He says that Ha'im ha-mechitzos, mechitzos ha-movui hayu pochos me'asor tfachim v'chokok bo la-hashlim asora. And he has an issue here about whether the halal, the airspace underneath the korah, is less than 10 tfachim, or hagova shel kol ha-movui hayapachos me'asora. In other words, it's not just the area underneath the korah that's problematic, but the entire mavui is less than asora. Only then do we have to be chokek lahashlim, or is everything depend upon the area directly below the korah? Now he has another question here, a topic unto itself with a great deal of literature, and that is that if we assume, which is a group of Rishonim, that Mechitzas HaMavui Einon Gvos Asora Eich Nasa HaMavui Rishus HaYochit, we know that a Mechitza has to be a minimum of 10 Tfachim high in order to be a Mechitza and create a Rishus HaYochit, and the whole purpose of allowing Tiltul in a Mavui is based on the fact that the Mavui itself has the status of Rishus HaYochit. Now, if you can assume that the Mavui in general, not just the area above the Korah, we said according to one school of thought, the Mavui in general is below, all the Kesolim of the Mavui are below 10 Tfachim, not just that part of the Kosel upon which the Korah is resting, but the entire Mavui is made up of Kesolim that are less than 10 Tfachim, then how do you get a Rishus HaYachid based on Ksolim that are less than 10 Tfachim high, when the minimum shear of a Mechitza to create a Rishus HaYachid is going to be 10 Tfachim? Again, that question is only if you hold that the Sugya of Chokin LaHashlim is in a case where the entire Mavui is below Asara Tfachim. The Mechitzas and the Mavui are below Asar Tfachim. If you would assume, like the other school of thought, that it's only Tachas HaKorah, that's where you have an airspace that's below Asar Tfachim. But the Kosel on the right and the left, both of them are Lamalame Asar Tfachim, then there's nothing to talk about. That Mavui is certainly a Rishus HaYochid. So that's another issue that he's going to address here. Then he has another issue. He says, Asiyas hachakak b'mavui, when he depresses the ground inside the Mavui, and the Mavui now since it's before the chakak, it's less than asar tefachim, does the chakak in the mavui now create a rishus hayochid? And that's going to be a sugya actually in Masecht Shabbos. The Gemara there on Daf Zayin has a case of a house that's the mechitzos are 10 tefachim on the outside, but because of the ceiling inside the house, the airspace inside the house is less than 10 tefachim. And the Gemara is going to assume that in such a case, the house itself, believe it or not, has the din of a karmelis. And you can't carry something inside the house more than 4 amos, because then it's like you're carrying in a karmelis 4 amos. So the Gemara says you could be chokek, you could dig in the karka in such a way that because of the chakak, there's already a height of asar tefachim, and then you could be metaltel inside the house, even though not every part of the house has this height of asara, but if you achokek a certain square with certain dimensions inside the house, that's enough to remove the status of karmel is from inside the house. The makom achak now becomes rishus hayochid, and the rest of the house inside becomes what's called kosle rishus hayochid, and they also now have the status of rishus hayochid. So that's an interesting sugya unto itself in Masechta Shabbos. Then he has another discussion about Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says that when you do the chakika lahashlim, all you have to do is move into the mavui 4 tefachim, and you're going to have to add a little bit more than 4 tefachim l'chora, because there's a loch in a mavui that the orach, the length of the mavui, has to be greater than the width of the mavui. So assuming the width of the mavui is 4 tefachim, now the length of the mavui would have to be 4 tefachim plus a mashahu, a little bit more, so that the length is greater than the width, and that's going to be a discussion amongst the Rishonim. Abai requires that the length be 4 amos. And the question is, what's the width? So we said the width is probably 4 tefachim, but it could be that according to Abaye, once you need a length that's 4 amos, so apparently the Rif thinks that the chakak has to be 4 amos square, which means that even the width is going to have to be 4 amos wide. And that generates a lot of discussion amongst the Achronim. Then he has a Keren Ora on a different dimension of this sugya. I mean, this sugya is multidimensional. And he says that according to the Keren Ora, the machlokes in our Gemara between Rav Yosef and Abaye applies to what he calls a mavoi gadol. But how much do you have to be mashlim here in order to set up the Korah as being valid? According to Rav Yosef, all you need is 4 tefachim. And he says that Hashir l'Rav Yosef dai b'arba tefachim b'meshach ha-mavui and the rochav of the mavui v'ein ze mavui sherochvo yeser al orko mishum shemash chutz li'arba tefachim nechshav l'mavui. Wow, this is a wild chiddush of the Keren Ora, that somehow the rest of the mavui is in a sense batel, it's like an extension of that part of the mavui, and therefore you don't have to worry about the fact that you only have 4 tefachim in length as opposed to 4 tefachim in width. And we need that the length be greater than the width, but he says you can be mitzaref the rest of the mavui. According to Abaye, you need 4 amos, kishir meshach mavui, and it could be, as we said before, that according to Abaye, we're gonna have a problem of square, that we want to get the width of the mavui equal to the square, the thing. Now, we haven't even touched on the issue of Tzuras HaPesach. The sugya here on Daf Hey discusses a case of Kosel Shenifratz Mitzido. So there's an opening in the Kosel. And the Gemara is going to distinguish how wide is the opening and is there enough of the Kosel left in order to be matir the mavui. Well, we have another issue over here, and that's called Tzuras HaPesach. Whenever you have an opening, if you have a side post on both sides and a covering on top going horizontal, then you can make it into a Tzuras HaPesach. And the question is, in the case of a piritza, would Tzuras HaPesach be reliable, so to speak, would be valid in order to remove the problem of the piritza? Because a Tzuras HaPesach basically makes an area into a mechitza. And that's all we need, is to get this wall that's broken into a mechitza. So he has here an Arzarua, and the Arzarua is going to say that basically what you have here is you have a Mavui with two different openings, and if you can combine the opening one with the other through a Tzuras HaPesach, then that alone might be enough to be Mata the Mavui. So these are all various discussions here in the Yalkut HaBiurim. As I say, it's pretty extensive. On Daf Hey alone, just on Omer Aleph, he has about 10 pages, more than 10 pages, just on Daf Hey Omer Aleph. A very fine print here. So it goes on and on. So let me just see where we want to put the emphasis here on our discussion. Let's see. I was curious here. Oh. Are you interested in at all in some of the laws of Tvila B'mikvah? Does that interest you? If it does...
Yes, yes, yes.
Good, if it does, then we have a number of different cases of Tvila B'mikvah that we can discuss as far as Chatzitza is concerned. We could talk about taking a keli that you purchase from a non-Jew and put it in a mikvah. You could talk about Chatzitza in that case. You could talk about Tvilas Ezra, who was misakin that a Baal Keri has to go into the mikvah. You could talk about Tvila on Erev Yom Kippur, Lifnei Hashem Titar, which according to the Ramban at least is a Doraisa requirement, and according to other Rishonim it's only a Minog. But the question is, where do the laws of Chatzitza, where do they apply, and when do they apply in terms of all these tefillos? And of course, this will be relevant to tefillas nida as well. So he has a discussion about this. He calls it Rubo Hamakpid. He says that in the laws of tefila, you're going to require let me say it this way. To disqualify tefila, you're going to require a chatzitza that is both rubo and makpid. However, the Rabbanon are going to make a gzera in the case of miut hamakpid. So you have a chatzitza which only covers part of the body, a small part of the body, but he's makpid. In other words, he doesn't want that filth or whatever it might be to be on his body, or in the case of a kli, he wants to get rid of those labels that are attached to the kli. And the Rabbanu made gzera because of rubo amakpit. Now, this is a little bit of a problem because what? Let's say it's miyud hamakpid, and the gzera is... So that's good. So that makes sense, because if you're going to make a gzera or to rubo hamakpid, then that's a gzera for a doraisa, because in a rubo hamakpid, we have both conditions, that the chatzitza covers most of his body, plus he's makpid about it. That's a chatzitza doraisa. So it makes sense that in a case of miyud hamakpid, the Rabbanan would be afraid of rubo hamakpid. And that's a gzera. Okay. Now what about a case of miyut she'eno makpid? So the Gemara actually raises this question. Ligzar nami al miyuto she'eno makpid. This is back on the previous Amud, on Daf Dalet Amud Beis. And the Gemara is assuming that there was no gzera on miyut she'eno makpid, because you're missing both conditions. So the Gemara says, why didn't you institute a gzera in that case? And the Gemara says, he gufa gzera v'anan nikum v'nigzar gzera l'gzera. So even in the case of miyut hamakpid, that's only a gzera. Or in the case of rubo she'eno makpid, that's only a gzera. So now in a case of miyut she'eno makpid, that would be a gzera l'gzera. And the Gemara says, therefore, we don't consider miyut she'eno makpid as a chatzitza. So he quotes here the poskim, Kuf Tzadik Zayin, the Ramah in Yoredei Simon, Kuf Tzadik Ches, and the Taz and the Darki Tshuva. L'chatchila, he says, Yesh l'dagdek, v'ein tovlin, ad she'mesirim, so again, according to the Gemara, there was never a gzera on miyut she'eno makpid, but the poskim bring down such a gzera, and they say yesh l'dagdek, that we should be careful, even in the case of miyut she'eno makpid, to remove all the chatzitzos. So the levush over there in Yoredei Kuf Tzadik Ches already points out that this din is only l'chatchila. It's a chumra l'chatchila because it's a gzera l'gzera. Okay? So that's point number one. Now, point number two is a kash of the Avnei Nezer, the Sukkot Shomer. He says, in the case of miyut hamakpid, the Gemara says is a gzera otu rov hamakpid. He says, madua gozru miyut hamakpid mishum rubo hamakpid, arei b'chol dini ha-Torah lo matzinu gzera miyuto otu rubo. Ukigon b'mechitzos Sha'omed meruba al haparutz. So let's say you have a mechitza, and part of which it's open, but it's the minority, then we rely on this mechitza, even though it's parutz, because of the din of rov. So why don't we say, well, even though it's a miut, that's parutz, we should make a gzera miut otu rov, that if you allow him to use this mechitza in a case where there's a miut, then he might use the mechitza in the case of a rov, which we saw here in the Gemara that says that in chatzitza, if we allow you in a chatzitza of miut, he might come to a chatzitza of rov. That's the kasha of the Avnei Nezer. And he answers the following. He says, Kevin shetzorch shei kulo betoch ha-mayim, v'im yotzu bi-etzba, o afilu sara achas l'chutzo also l'tfilu klal min ha-torim kein, ha-din she-mi-uto eino chotzeitz min ha-torah, ha-inu rak ha-sher ha-yakulo betoch ha-mayim, v'yesh chatzitza b'mi-uto, v'lachein efshe she-roim, ha-roim yitu v'yomru, she-ein psul chatzitza klal afilu berubo, Mishum sheyizbru shemuchach shenechshav tvila gam b'mokom shechotzeitz shreitzorch shekol gufo mamish yeh b'mayim v'yesh din chatzitza vay lo hayemoyel shreinechshav chisaron tvila ukiilu shelo hayegufo b'mayim is therefore gozru chacham shegam miutu yeh chatzitza mishum rubo. So he says the following. Tvila requires that kol gufo be inside the water. Now, he's got a chatzitza on miud haguf. In his mind, that already means that it's not kol gufo b'mayim. Do you follow? In other words, he's going to ask himself the following question. Mimonafsha. Is there a loch of chatzitza? Is chatzitza a problem? Or it's not a chatzitza. Okay, so I have something on my body, but my body is in the water. He will not distinguish between miut and rov, right? Because mimonafshach. Since it's halacha that kol gufo have to be mamayim, his entire body has to be submerged, then is there a chatzitza? It's not a chatzitza. If there's a chatzitza, then it's not kol gufo b'mayim. Even if that chatzitza is only b'miuto, you know, with his lamda shakap, he says, well, that's equal to a chatzitza, whether you call it miuto or you call it rubo. And if you're going to tell me, well, you know what, it's okay. Why? Because it's only a chatzitza on miuto, then he thinks that that undermines the whole entity of chatzitza, that you can have called gufa b'mayim despite the chatzitza. And he's going to come to the conclusion that even if it was rubo, it's not a chatzitza. Okay, we mentioned before that there were other tefillos that are required by either Takanas Ezra, and then we mentioned the tefillah of Erev Yom Kippur. So Tosvis asks the following question: Af b'tefillos shechiyuvam rak midrabbanan, even tefillos which were enacted by the Chachamim. For example, Takanas Ezra, he has another case here which we have to study unto itself. I mean, that's called Tara Nichnas Lazara. They made a Takana that a Tar who goes into the Azara, even though he's Tor, he needs Tvila b'mikvah mirabbanon, and that was Takana b'shvil. This is a Gemara in Yuma Daf Lamed Aleph b'shvil azkiro tumi yishana sheyesh bo. I guess it's a kind of fear that maybe he had a tuma or so. Anyway, that's a tuma that was enacted mirabbanon, and Tosa says in Masechta Yoma that even in a tumah that's only derabbanan, noagim bohem kol dinei chatzitza, kimo tfilos doraisa, v'af chatzitzos haposlos rak midrabbanan in a tfila doraisa, posos gam bitfila derabbanan. So here we have the old question of gzera l'gzera. In the case of miut makpid, or rubo v'eno makpid, the entire entity of chatzitza, even where you need tefila doraisa, is only derabbanon. Now you're talking about a tefila which in and of itself is derabbanon, and you're telling me that all the chatzitzos which in a doraisa situation would be derabbanon also apply here to a tefila derabbanon. So Tosus answers, Kevin shetiknu chachamim tefilos elu, harein kedin Torah. We don't consider this a gzera l'gzera. And the reason for that is because it is a tefillah. And whatever is the ma'isa tefillah, that's what the Rabbanan are going to superimpose in these various situations. So therefore, in Tfilas Bal Keri, for example, for the sake of learning Torah and davening, which was an institution of Ezra, we're going to say that Chatzitza Poselas, even the Chatzitza, which is only Derabbanan, of Miut, Shemakpid or Rubo, She'eno Makpid. However, the Rashba in Masecht Nida is bothered by this, because the Gemara establishes that for a Bal Keri, he could be Tovel in Mayim She'uvim. So you see that his Tvila is not identical with a classic Tvila Derabbanan. Notice, once Rabbanu were misaking Tvila, and you're saying that all the dinim of Chatzitza apply, meaning you need a Maisa Tvila, which is Ke'en, you know, Tvila Doraisa, then why do you allow a Balkeri, who requires Tvila for Torah and Tvila, to jump into a mikveh that's made of Mayim She'uvim? So you're not going to be makil as far as chatzitza. You're going to be machmir and apply all the dinim of chatzitza to the case of a tefilas bal keri. But yet you're going to waive the requirement of arbaim sa in a mikvah kshera, and you're going to allow him to use mayim she'uvim. That's really strange. So it seems that this kasha of the Rashba was so bothersome to other Rishonim, like the Maimar Mordechai. Okay, he's already from the Achron, but he says, "Ein chatzitza poseles b'tfilas bali keri." There is such a posek who says that chatzitza, which would normally pasel tvila, does not apply to bal keri, just like Maim Sheuvim is kosher for bal keri. And this is brought down in the Chafetz Chaim in the Bir Halacha in Siman Peches with regard to the Halacha of Tfilas Bal Keri. And he writes in the Bir Halacha that the Eshkol, which if I'm not mistaken is a Rishon, writes that Tvila Zu, Tvila of a Bal Keri, Ein Bo Psul Chatzitza. We're not going to apply the Rashba's principle that we saw is also Tosus in Yuma of Kol Tikkun Rabbanan Kein Doraisa to require the same tefila that you require min haTorah with the psulim of Chatzitza. Kevin Shachacham Atzum Shinu Aydavar V'Tiru She'uvim. And once the Rabbanan made a kula and they allowed for Mayim She'uvim, that you don't need a tefila that would be a valid tefillah midin Torah. Hence, even if there's a chatzitza, the Bal Keri would be, this would be a valid tefillah for a Bal Keri. The Mishnah Berurah seems to assume that if the chatzitza would be rov gufo, then it would passel even in the case of a Bal Keri. So again, Rabbi will say, you know, this requires a lot of schwitzing. You know, you have to really work it out that to what extent do we compare and equate the tefillah of a Bal Keri to tefillah d'oraisa? To what extent do we, you know, the Rashba wants to say, and Tosus also, that we're going to apply the standards of chatzitza, and that's going to undermine and invalidate the tefillah of a Bal Keri, but yet, as far as Mayim She'uvim is concerned, we said that psul doesn't apply to a Bal Keri. So, what's that all about? Now, in the case of Erev Yom Kippur, he quotes a Mata Ephraim, one of the great poskim amongst the Ashkenazim. He says, "Chayev kol adam l'tayres atzmo be Erev Yom Kippurim v'litvol she'etar mitumas keri v'gam tvil l'shem tshuva." So the tvila of Yom Kippur is a double tvila. Number one, it's a tefillah of a Bal Keri from Tumah. And number two, it's a new entity of tefillah of Tshuva. I mean, I'll just add my own little footnote here that the Rambam says about tshuva, eini oso ha'ish, right? That a person changes his name and so forth. He says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm not the same person who sinned. That's the greatest level of tshuva. He completely dissociates himself with his old personality. He's got the transformation into a new personality. And mikvah has that power of transformation. It changes your entire identity. Like, for example, the case of a ger. So on Erev Yom Kippur, when we go into the mikvah, we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is not the same person that may have sinned in the past. Says the Mat Ephraim, Yesh ledagdek b'chatzitza, he wants you to be very, very careful about chatzitza. Yoser mishar tvilos. Wow, he says that even if, let's say, the rest of the year, a person goes into the mikvah, you know, the different minhagim, but let's say his minhag is to go to mikvah the rest of the year because of this takon of Ezra, for example. He's not so makvid achatzitza. But he says in the case of Yom Kippur, he should be very, very careful. And terev shenichnas lebeis hamerchatz yitol tziparnov, he should definitely cut his nails before he goes into the mikvah. Gam yachzos shenov, which is always a good idea, the rest of the year to brush his teeth, but especially before he goes to the mikvah. Kidei shelo yabein hashinayim dover hachotzeis, so there shouldn't be anything between his teeth. And he says, machmirim b'tfilah zu yosem b'tfilos kol hashonov afilu b'miut chotzeis. Which is really interesting, because we said that in general, in tefillas balkeri, but again, this tefillah, says the Mat Ephraim, has more than just the status of a balkeri. It's also a tefillah shel tshuva. And I think what he has in mind here, maybe, is the idea of tovil v'sheretz biyado. In other words, you want to completely purify yourself, a total purification. Alternatively, he might be saying that this tefillah is doraisa, because the pasuk says lifnei Hashem titaru, and the Ramban says lifnei Hashem means lifnei yom Hashem, meaning before you go into Yom Kippur. So maybe this tara is a doraisa tara. I don't know. He has a footnote here on the bottom. Let me just see if that's of any help to us. He says hashallah is here. He was very careful about tefillah of erev Yom Kippur mechatzitza. Okay, let's just see if this is relevant to us. Kuf Pei Hei. He says that the Beis Yosef also seems to assume Chatzitza Be'ish. Yeah. And obviously he points out that Tefillas Ger is going to require a very careful Zehirus, that there shouldn't be any Chatzitza. Now he asks, what's the reason why Bekulo Chotzeitz Afshe Eno Makpid? So he quotes a Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Ayin Chesam in Beis, Lechalek Bein Makpid Lebein Eno Makpid Dafka Berubo. So this whole discussion about Eno Makpid, which we said on a Doraisa level, even if it's a Chatzitza Berubo, since he's not Makpid, it's not called a Chatzitza. He says that basically the Gemara says Bekulo, if he has a chatzitza that touches on his whole body, chotzeitz, that's a chatzitza even b'she'eno makpid. Bilvad b'ubar shehu derech diloso, chen tfilas imo mo'ila gamli ubar. Okay. He basically asks about a case of a woman who goes into the mikvah for gerus and she's pregnant. And the tefillah of the mother works even for the fetus. And he asks about the concept of a chatzitza, that the body of the mother is a chatzitza for the fetus. And he says that that should be a problem, even though it's eno makpid, right? Because the fetus doesn't care one way or the other here, but on the other hand, it's kulo. So when we use the mitigating factor of eno makpid, that's only if it's rubo vieno makpid, but here it's kulo vieno makpid. So I think he's going to come to the conclusion, if I read this correctly, that the tefillah here of the mother somehow magically works for the ubar. A whole different category. Anyway, so let's get back to our discussion. What about a case of kulo, and there's a chatzitza bekulo, and he's not makpid? So in such a case, even though he's not makpid, that would be a valid, so to speak, chatzitza, a real bona fide chatzitza. So he explains it amongst the achronim in three different ways. The first way is the Mari HaLevi. He writes that the din of kulo chotzeitz is only derabbanan. And that was the gzera in a case of eno makpid on rubo she'eno makpid. So basically saying, even kulo v'eno makpid is only chatzitza derabbanan. And he writes, kevan she'muchrach lahasir es rov chatzitzoso nimtze she'esh kan rov ha'makpid v'lachein chotzeitz mena. Wow, this is really a chiddush. He wants to say the following, that once the rabbanan said that this is a chatzitza, even though he's not makpid, so he's going to have to take it off, and that itself makes it makpid, and therefore it's a chatzitza min haTorah. That is a very complicated concept. Do you follow? That once the Rabbanan required that he get rid of this chatzitza, then it becomes makpid by definition. Then he says, in the name of the Chafetzeles HaSharon, that Masha Bekulo Chotzeitz Hu Min HaSvara. He quotes the Avni Nezer, who bases himself apparently on the Tosus Yishonim, that Lule HaLocha Hayinu Noktim Shedavka Bekulo Chotzeitz. So the HaLocha Moshe Misinai is Mechadesh that Rubo is a Chotzeitz. If not for that HaLocha Moshe Misinai, would have said that Davka Kulo is Chotzeitz. Now, the Halacha Moshe Misinai is coming to be machmir, that even rubo is chotzeitz in a case of makpid. V'yesh lomer im kein, shalacha she'eno makpid, eno chotzeitz, hu prat bi'osa halacha she'rubo chotzeitz. In other words, Halacha Moshe Misinai was mechadesh that even rubo is a chatzitza. Now, we have an additional mitigating circumstance in chatzitza, which is called eno chotzeitz. I'm sorry, eno makpid, and that also is part of the Halacha Moshe Misinai. So you have rubo, which was mischadesh through the Halacha Moshe Misinai, is a chatzitza, but the Halacha Moshe Misinai says that that's only if it's makpid, but if it's eno makpid, then it's not a chatzitza. But all this is a detail and a qualification of the din of Halacha Moshe Misinai, which applies to rubo. So therefore, what the Halacha Moshe Misinai is saying about that dafka, if he's makpid, it's a chatzitza, that was formulated in the case of rubo. But in a case of kulo, which we don't need this Halacha Moshe Misinai, it's just simply not a tvila, then even if he's not makpid, it's going to be chotzeitz. So it comes out that according to everything we've seen, in the case of kulo, we have a chatzitza doraisa, despite the fact that he's not makpid. And finally, he quotes the Brisker Rav. Chidushi Agriz al Rambam Hilchos Mikvos Perk Beis. Af im nomar ba'alocha she'eno chotzeitz ela b'makpid, that a chatzitz is only if he's makpid, mikomakom b'mechuse kulo, ein kan bias mayim klal. He wants to suggest to Biskarov that when there's a chatzitza b'kulo, that's not posel midin chatzitza. That's just simply the absence of a tvila b'mikvah. Because in tefillah, we need bias mayim kulo, that he be completely submerged in the water. And he says, since he's completely covered by this chatzitza, it's not considered bias mayim. And if it's not bias mayim, forget about the dinim of chatzitza. You know, in the dinim of chatzitza, you can say, well, he's not makpid on this chatzitza. But when you're talking about a lack, an absence of bias mayim, that's already a much more fundamental and far-reaching psul, and makpid or eda makpid is totally irrelevant. He says, v'dafka berubo sheyesh bias mayim. Oh, in a case where rubo, meaning most of his body is covered by this chatzitza, at least he has a bias mayim, b'miktsaso, and then we could say that that bias mayim b'miktsaso is considered bias mayim b'kulo. So then you could ask, well, is there a chatzitza or is there not? And we could say it depends upon makpid or eno makpid. But if there's no bias mayim at all because it's a chatzitza bekulo, that's not a tefillah at all, and then we don't talk about makpid and eno makpid. Very interesting. Now this case of chatzitza bekulo, that we said even if he's not makpid, it would still be a chatzitza. For some reason, the Rama and the Rif completely omit this halacha that kulo chotzeitz afilu b'sheino makpid. Why was it omitted? So he quotes one group of achronim that say that we don't paskin like this shita, that kulo is chotzeitz afilu b'eino makpid. He has another school of achronim that say that lo matzinu, that it's not really practical. He says, lo matzinu, we don't have a case, a hechatimtz, of kulo v'eino makpid. The only case is that one case in the Gemara Yevam is about an ubar. And we're going to say in the case of ubar that this is the normal tvila that the mother goes in, and therefore it's meaningful and it's valid for the child, and therefore there's no nafkemina to this case of kulo v'eino makpid. Then he quotes the Maria Levi that we quoted earlier, and he says that the answer to this question depends upon the answer to a different question. The Achronim ask, in a case of rubo v'eino makpid, which is only pasul midrabanan, because again he's eino makpid. He says kevan shu makpid olav mitzada isur drabanan. Right, this was the svara that we spoke about earlier, that since on the drabanan level he cannot go in with this chatzitza in a case of rubo, so then by definition it becomes makpid. Shuv yiel lo din chatzitza midin Torah. So why do we say that rubo v'eino makpid is only drabanan? It's a gzeir drabanan. It really is a doraisa, because once you're telling me that he has rubo, then there's a chatzitza mitzad the rubo, then he's certainly makpid on that chatzitza. He says tzorach lomar shemikomakom eino makpid al kol achatzitza. Shrei litvila dai bameshi ma'atenu me'arov v'yamidenu al amiut. In other words, all is kpeda here in order to satisfy the requirement midrabanan that it shouldn't be rubo, is to bring it down to the level of mi'uto. So he only has to get rid of part of the chatzitza and make sure that it's now mi'ut and not rov. Im kein nimtza she'eno makvid ela al miut. V'lachein ein kam psul min haTorah. What was the kasha that since min rabbanon he's got to get rid of this chatzitza because it covers rov haguf, and then memelo it becomes makvid by definition should be a psul chatzitza doraisa. He says no. To satisfy the rabbanon, he just has to reduce it from rubo to miuto, and therefore he's not makvid on anything beyond the miut, right? Beyond that miut that will take out of the rov and reduce the rov to a miut. And therefore, min haTorah, it's not a psul of chatzitza. And there he writes, Lefi zeh yesh lomar shezeu dafka kshahoysa chatzitza berubo. Ah, aval kshahoysa chatzitza bekulo. So on a drabbanan level, he now has to remove rubo to make it into miuto. And he says, Shuv hareze kerubo amakvidu posul min haTorah. So in the case of kulo, it becomes a psul min haTorah. Oh, so why does the Rambam omit this din? Shrei kvar posak sherubo amakvid chotzeitz min haTorah. And this will be a case of rubo amakvid because he's got kulo, and min rabbanan, he has to reduce it down to miuto, and therefore that's considered a kpeda. Therefore it would be a chatzitza d'oraisa. Let me just see if there's anything I wanted to add. Gam bedor sheyesh bo mamish miut veino makvid eino chotzeitz. He quotes here a prisha and a bach that masha miuto veino makvid eino chotzeitz. Hainu dafka kasher achatzitza ein bo mamish virak mare bi alma vol im dovuk mamoshus bedovar. Af miuto vieno makbid chotzeitz. Wow, this could be a gewaltige chumra as far as our kelim are concerned. She's got this small label that's attached dovuk. It's dovuk to the kli. It's a miut vieno makbid, but he says that this whole discussion about miut sheino makbid, that's only in a case of mara, a slight discoloration. But if there's dovuk mamoshos, if there's something tangible that gets stuck to the body or the kli, is af b'miuto v'eino makbid chotzeitz. That's such a chumra. Oh, in the next paragraph he writes, aval das harbe me'achronim shemiut eino chotzeitz afilu k'sheyesh bo mamoshos. V'adrav b'dover she'ein bo mamoshos af im yir berubo kishe eno makbid olav eno chotzeitz. In other words, we could be more makil in a dover she'en bo mamish that even if it's rubo, since it's eno makbid, it's not chotzeitz. But in the case of dover she'en bo mamishes is if it's rubo, then it's chotzeitz. Okay, then. So this is where we'll stop. Maybe tomorrow we'll go back to some of the issues that we mentioned before in the sugi of chokin lahashlim. And now we're going to learn about metzia, and that's going to take place at approximately 11:35.